Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope, there we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it?
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show. The Baseball Reporter with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Aruba Tourism Authority, NY World Class Market, New England Regional Council of Carpenters, Hammer and Aruba All Inclusive Resort, Rodenizer Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, JetBlue, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, Brennan Smoke Shop, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Boxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So with the Red Sox, you really have to fall on one of two sides, I think. To me, there are really only a couple of ways to go here. One is that you look at the standings and you say, this thing's not over yet. The Red Sox are hanging around. If they can put some sort of winning streak together, catch a couple of breaks, they can go into the final couple of weeks of the season, maybe a couple of games out of first, or the wild card spot. I almost said first place. They can go into the final couple of weeks of the season, maybe two games out of the wild card, and then we have a race on our hands. You are either on that side, or you are on the side of no shot, this thing's already over. It's just a matter of the math now, and by this time next week, they will really be out of their misery because they're going to play seven games in a row now against the Minnesota Twins and the New York Yankees. So my question to you tonight is, which side are you on? Which side are you on? And I'll tell you where I am here in just a second. 617-779-0985 is your phone number. We'll continue to talk baseball for the rest of the baseball season so long as there is one. So if by some strange occurrence or series of events, the Red Sox pull off some sort of miraculous comeback, get themselves into the postseason, then we will be broadcasting in October. If not, the last Friday in September will be the last day for this particular program, and then we will see you again next spring, as we do every year. 617-779-0985 if you want to talk baseball. And let me just say, as I said at the end of last week, that any issues regarding the Red Sox as they pertain to the offseason are on the table. So if you have any particular thought about how they're going to handle an issue or a position or a need entering the offseason, by all means, we will do that. Okay, we will absolutely do that. And I started to actually go through the Red Sox roster area by area last week, starting pitching, relief pitching, infield and outfield, and gave you some of the overview there. We'll certainly continue to do a lot of that here in the final month. I actually even want to go through the roster, player by player, and go over the particulars on those guys' contracts, things of the like, and what the needs are for the Red Sox here going forward. So again, 617-779-0985. Last night, in the event you don't watch it, I've been contributing this year to Talking Baseball, the show on NBC Sports Boston with Lou Maloney and John Tomasi. On every Monday night, during the baseball season, where we address a number of Red Sox issues. And this was essentially the core of the discussion last night, which was, which side are you on? Do you believe they're still worth watching, or do you believe that this thing is over? Okay, here is how the exchange went on the program last night. The first voice you're going to hear, John Tomasi. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Yeah, and they're embracing it. I mean, that's the one thing you got to hand them. You go back to some of these other seasons that crashed and burned, 2014, yeah. 2012. You look at them, and by this point, they were done. And they could very easily be done right now. No Chris Sale, no David Price for the most part for the last month and a half of the season. And yet, here they are. They're still fighting. I mean, the odds are against them, but at least they're not laying down. And that's, you know, as you head into an offseason looking, wondering what you have going into next year, at least you can look at that and say, you know what, this team just didn't make it in.
John, you hit on it, because this team's been extremely disappointing, right? When you look at what we thought they'd be, I mean, there's no way we thought they'd be out of it, and I thought they were out of it the first week of August. And I almost feel like they're sort of like, they're gaining my respect back now, you know, even though I don't think they have a chance, just by the way they're playing. And I look at him now and say, okay, you know, I respect you now, even though you lost. I lost a lot of respect for you earlier in the year.
Yeah, right. It's.
I don't. I don't. I break it up. I look at it now and say, well, the horse left the barn. That's my feeling. So look, now obviously that's me offering my 2 cents at the end there, Murray. And what can I tell you?
I'm with you on this. That to me is like you sound like the good job, good effort kid with the Celtics and Heat from like 6 or 7 years ago. Like, at this point, it's too little too late for me. Like, I'm now going to applaud this team because they played well against crap over the last like couple of weeks. Please.
So now look, I covered Lou. I worked with John Tomasi, and I think highly of both of them. I couldn't disagree with them more on this particular topic. The Red Sox have not won my respect. In 2019, the Red Sox have lost my respect. And for them to win it back, they're going to have to either have some sort of miraculous comeback here and get into the playoffs and make some noise. Because, again, my goals for the season have not changed. Like, I don't all of a sudden get to this stage and say, well, you know what? Now I expect them to quit, and they're not quitting, so I'm going to give them the credit for that. My goals for the season remain the same from the very beginning. The goal was to win the division, make the playoffs, get to the LCS. That was my goal. That's what I thought was a realistic goal for a good season for a team that won 108 games. That, to me, was a realistic objective. The Red Sox have come nowhere close to that. So I'm not going to sit here and pretend now that all of a sudden I feel good about the way they're playing, because, frankly, it's easy to play well when the games don't mean anything. The question is, can you play well when the games mean something? Last year, the Red Sox played well wire to wire, and they were dominant in October. We have never, not once, seen that team this year for any extended period of time. Now, all of that said, I admit that I'm still keeping an eye on it, and not just because it's my job. I woke up on Sunday, and the first thing I did was turn on my phone and see how that game turned out. And when I saw that they blew it late, and they lost that game 10-4, I rolled my eyes, turned off my phone, and, you know, put it down and walked away. Okay, so I immediately grabbed the phone from the nightstand. So the point is, if it's still irritating me to see that they lost the night before, then I still clearly have some idea that they're not totally dead yet. Now, again, mathematically, but do I believe they're coming back? No, I think cooked. I hope they prove me wrong. 617-779-0985. Chad's in New Hampshire. Chad, what do you got?
Hey, what's going on, Maz? I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, I'm a pretty young guy. You know, I'm only 31 years old, so I haven't really lived through many heartbreaks, but I'm also not naive. You know, when a team's done, you know they're done. And, you said it yourself. You know, you haven't seen the team that we had last year at all this year. You know, they give up and they play great against all these crap teams, and then they get put up against the Yankees or any other good team, and they fold. They sit there, and you just don't see any drive or passion in them, you know. And
Chad, have they won your respect at all here in the last, call it, I don't know, 3 weeks since the trading deadline, since the 8-game losing streak? Go ahead.
They've already honestly no, like, because I stopped watching them like 2 months ago. When did training camp start? That's kind of when I stopped watching them.
Okay,
you know, like they're not on my mind anymore. And like you said, they played against crap teams. It's great. Yeah, you beat in the teams you should be beating, but then the teams that you need to beat, you don't.
Okay, so that's the thing for me, and thank you for the call, that I just look at it and say, well, wait a minute. And look, for people like him, people like the caller, the Patriots do factor in. Start of football comes along, and if there's not a reason for you to dig in, you're switching over and you're getting ready for football, and I don't blame you. I would do the same thing. In fact, I largely am. So now, I made a living covering baseball for a long period of time, and to some degree, I suppose I still do. Fortunately, I have other sports to turn to at the moment, but I told you, I still have an interest in it. I still have an interest in how the Red Sox turn out this year. Because the first thing I do in the morning, if I don't see the end of the game at night, is grab their phone and see if they won or lost. If I didn't care, I wouldn't even bother to look. So I did. I looked on Sunday morning, and I was agitated. And I suspect that many of you were, too. Because that loss on Saturday night, ooh, that was the one that made you say, this is why they have had the year they've had. That was the one that really infuriated you. Ryan is in Dorchester. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, how we doing? I
I solely agree with you. Like, I still find myself checking my phone in the morning, and I don't know why. And I'm excited for this football season, mainly because of what the Red Sox have done this year, and have completely lost my respect for, like, there's really no excuse for what they've done. You go to the World Series the year before, and you can't even, you're scraping to get into the playoffs this year. There's just no excuse. Now, my main question for you is, do you think baseball, because of the amount of games they play compared to other sports, is more of a mental drain on a team that does go as far as the Sox did the year before, and how much time they have off before they start cranking up again?
So, Ryan, I don't. And look, it's a factor. There's no two ways about it. I mean, that when you go as deep into October as they do and play the number of games they did last year, and then, you know, you win 119 games, you win the World Series, you come back next spring, it's hard to crank it up again. It is. But is it really any harder than hockey? And I use hockey as the example because think of what it takes to win that Stanley Cup. Think of the investment that you have to make as a player in the spring, 2 months, playing every other night at a pace where by the end of it, frankly, you can't play more than 25 games in a row. And then beyond that, you're going to end up with a punctured lung, a broken rib, a twisted knee, a concussion, a broken nose, a busted lip, and who knows what else. And then if you lose the cup in game 7 at home to a team that was in last place in January, that's a tough one to come back from. Like, that one I get. Because you say, well, wait, I made all of these physical sacrifices. I gave up my physical well-being. That I get. And so if that's my way of telling you that I think the Bruins are going to have a tough go of it early in the year, I think they are. The Red Sox? Okay, I expected some bumps at the beginning. I didn't expect 6-13. And they were lucky during that period of time. The Bruins and Celtics were both playing in the postseason. And in the case of the Bruins, they made a run. But the bottom line is, there was a very small window in there for the Red Sox to win us over. There was a very small window. Because by the time the Bruins and Celtics ended, it was really late June, then you had July and the trading deadline, and the Red Sox never did anything anywhere along the way to suck us in. Never. Now, could they do it now? Sure. Door's still open, however slightly. Yes. But I don't know how you could expect it after what we've seen. So that's sort of where I am. Am I checking the scores? Yes. Hell yeah, I'm still checking the scores. Am I invested as deeply as I was before? No. And that game on Saturday night, ooh, that one hurt. We'll relive part of it, and I see you all lined up. Don't go anywhere. We'll take your calls when we come back.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter. The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
On the 2-2. High fly ball, right center field, racing back, Mookie Betts feeling for the wall, leaping up, and that ball is gone, a home run. Home run, Albert Pujols. His 20th of the season, that'll make it 10-4. So this one really blows up on the Red Sox, a 7-run eighth inning for the Angels.
So that's how it went Saturday night. In the event you missed that one, and again, I don't blame you. West Coast game, Saturday night, during summer, team's out of it, basically. Why would you stay up? Red Sox led 4-3 going into the bottom of the eighth in what was a bullpen game. So they get that deep into it. In other words, all the relievers at the back end of that bullpen got him into a spot that a good starting pitcher would have gotten him into. Up 4-3 going into the bottom of the eighth. Except what happened? The same thing that has happened all year long. They blew it. Ryan Brazier blew it. The 27th blown save of the season for the Red Sox. Now look, it wasn't your standard bullpen operation because of the game the prior night went into extra innings. Again, another bullpen game, although it was Nathan Eovaldi. Cora had to empty out his bullpen. As a result, he didn't have his best relievers available the next night. The Red Sox blow the game the next night. And so when they had a chance to get within 4.5 of the wild card, they didn't pick up ground. Now, they squeaked one out yesterday. They won the series, but it's not good enough because now they're playing against the clock and they have to pick up games rapidly. Picking up one a month does them no good. So it's a frustrating thing. They're sort of stuck there now, and Minnesota and New York come in this week. And we had a caller earlier today said, well, if they go 4-3 against these teams, it'll be good enough. No, it won't, because you'll chalk another week off the schedule. Then you'll have to pick up 5 games in 3 weeks. And let me just offer one more thing, and then we'll get to your calls. That pattern over the weekend with relievers all 3 days, because Price only went 2 on Sunday. I think Eovaldi did the same thing on Friday night. So that pace, well, that can work for a little while because they had 2 off days last week. Now, no more off days, or not a lot of them here down the stretch. They're basically going to be playing every day pretty much for the month. Pretty close. And they're going to be facing better competition. So unless Price gets up to 5 or 6 innings and Eovaldi gets up to 5 or 6 innings and they protect that bullpen, those guys are going to get run into the ground and they are going to get hammered. Hammered. Because that's the pattern we've seen this year. To your calls, Mark's in Beverly. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight? Good. Thanks for taking my call. I just had a couple of quick points. One's about Mookie. Why are we not hearing anything about trying to keep him at all costs? I think we should. And my second point is bring back Theo. And I'm going to let you guys hash that around. I want to hear your thoughts.
Okay, so Mark, before I let you go, when you say bring back Betts at all costs, if it took 10 years and $350 million, would you do it?
I might do it for $300 million, maybe not $350.
Okay, so again, but then that's not at any cost. That's all. That's the only reason I asked you. I'm not paying Mookie Betts that kind of money. I'm sorry, I'm not. And we talked about this last week a little bit, Murray and I. If it comes down to it, I'd rather give J.D. Martinez 4 years and $100 million than give Mookie Betts 10 years and $300.
Yeah, Betts' season is what actually made me change my mind about him. When Mike Trout got his ridiculous deal, I thought, you know, Mookie should get something similar, you know, close to it, because I thought he was that good. I don't know. I just think there's an inconsistency in his game overall, and he's not worth that kind of money.
So I love all these stories that are out there about Mookie Betts now. He's not pulling the ball enough. That's where his power is. He's hitting the ball to the other field, and he leads the majors. I read this over the weekend. He leads the majors in outs of 370 to 375 feet. You know what that means, Murray?
What's that? It
means he can't hit the ball out to the opposite field. And I've been screaming
about saying that for years.
I've been screaming about this all along. This is why Mookie ultimately is not Mike Trout or someone. It doesn't mean he's a terrible player. He's a terrific player.
He's just flawed.
And if it's $25 million a year for 8 years, I'm in. I'll do it. They already offered that, and he said no. So to me, they've hit their ceiling, and they have other needs now. The whole separate part of the discussion is the Red Sox have such massive needs, I don't think they can afford to keep Mookie anymore. Josiah's in San Antonio. Go ahead.
Hey, Larry, I just want to say congratulations on getting married. And, Mass, to the Red Sox, 2 questions. One, why does it appear every time they win the World Series the following year, they come with this lazy attitude, don't even try? It's terrible what they're doing this year. And my second point is, don't you think that they should let go of Dave Dombrowski? Don't even bother bringing him back.
So, Jose, I think that second thing is going to happen again. And Dan Shaughnessy touched on this again in his column today, it was, right? Where, and I'm just getting all the stuff from the weekend all mixed up. But Shaughnessy basically wrote a month ago that he'd be shocked if Dombrowski comes back. He even named Eddie Romero as a probable successor. And nobody from the Red Sox organization has come out to say that Dave Dombrowski's coming back. Don't you find that odd, Murray? In other words, if the Red Sox saw something out there that Dombrowski's job is in jeopardy, then Dombrowski was asked about it by Bob Nightingale of USA Today. And he on record said, yeah, he was a little surprised. And nobody has gone to Dombrowski or to the media to say, no, where did that come from? That's wrong.
Yeah, it's a little bit odd.
I mean, it validates the report.
Yeah.
So Dombrowski's out.
Yeah, I mean, that's a given, I feel like, at this point.
I mean, I do. I think Dombrowski's toast. Now, whether or not it's justified is a different question. They've won, you know, they won three divisions in a row. They won the World Series in a record-breaking season. And as bad as this year has been, they're not going to finish 60-102. Okay, so they're not that bad, but enormously disappointing and mismanaged. And they have a lot of holes and not a lot of money. Bill's in Framingham. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, Tony. You know, Tampa Bay has good pitching, but they have one of the most god-awful lineups in the league. And I can see the Red Sox, I can see them losing a lot of close 3-2 games, 2-1 games going down the stretch. And the Red Sox can really rake. And I can see them, even though their pitching isn't as good, winning the games 8-6. 9-5.
So, Bill, listen, yep. They're 6-9 against Tampa this year, but if you want to tell me you think they can beat Tampa, I'm not going to disagree with you. Beating Tampa, though, is not enough. You also have to catch Cleveland or Oakland.
Right. No, I know, but you got to start somewhere.
Okay, so...
It's not over. Over yet, Tony.
Okay, so listen, it's not over. I mean, I'm just telling you what the odds are, and I've seen this too many times. In 2011, I thought there was no way they were going to blow it, and they blew it. So I understand that anything can happen. But I'm also going to tell you that I do feel like in the last week or 10 days, people have put an alarming amount of attention on Tampa. Well, geez, they almost caught Tampa. They're only a couple behind Tampa. Well, so what? What does that do? You have to catch Tampa and someone else. You've got to catch Oakland or Cleveland. So I know you can only do one at a time, but if you catch Tampa... As a result of Tampa falling back, in other words, it's not really you going forward, it's them falling back, which is what was happening, you're still the same distance behind Cleveland and Oakland. It doesn't do you any good. That's all. Kevin's in a car. Kevin, what do you got?
Hey, guys. I think this Sox team should be sponsored by Sour Patch. First they're sweet, then they're sour, then they're sweet, then they're sour. Raffy hits 6 doubles. You know, Brazier comes in and blows the game and whatnot. But anyways, my question is...
It's been a frustrating year, Kevin, in that way, right? I mean, up and down, over and over.
Very, very frustrating. It's good to see Bogarts and, you know, and Devers come around. But, you know, I'm worried they're wasting it on the, you know, on a tough year. So, but anyways, my question is, do you guys see a scenario or a situation at all where they kind of pull everything together in the playoffs and really make some noise? You know, I know pitching's tough and pitching is major in the playoffs, but I just can't let this lineup down. It's solid, it's left and right, but their pitching is just going nowhere. I just want to know if you guys think they can make some noise. That's all.
Yeah, Kevin, I don't.
Me either. The pitching's just too, they're beat up, and no, their bullpen stinks.
I mean, that's the thing. Even if they had a good year, I'd be worried about the pitching staff right now. And Francona used to put a premium on this when he was the manager of the team. Jimmy Stewart knows. I mean, he knows Francona inside out, for crying out loud. So Francona, in the month of September, when they had big leads, Francona would put a premium on getting that pitching staff rested and ready. And in fact, in 07, he was ready to blow the division to do it because he knew the division didn't mean anything. So Francona looked at it and said, no, we got to get our pitching staff right. This team now needs to win every game it can. It has a beat-up pitching staff, and it can't get its pitching staff right. So even if they were to, let's just say something miraculous happens and they get in, they're going to have to burn that staff to the nub to get in. I mean, it's just, it's the wrong way to go about it. It really is. Just getting hot in the final month is a hard way to win a World Series. Typically, baseball doesn't work that way. Typically. And this week... Minnesota, New York, Murray thinks that this is going to be, what's the expression, the coup de grace?
The reckoning.
This is the reckoning, as Murray puts it. This is when it all comes to roost. That come next Monday, they won't be 5 out, they'll be 8 out, and they'll really be dead.
The Baseball Reporters, Tony Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem?
No match for a little DIY duct tape.
Shoot, hold on, nope, there we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
We have the Sox cut.
The Sox cut.
This is the Baseball Reporter. Tony Mazzarotta, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So I just spoke to John when he walked out here, and John Farrell will be our manager for 2017. So he is all set, and his whole staff will be invited back, and we're anticipated that they will be back, short of something else happening. But everybody is welcome back. I think they did a very fine job for us. And I've just talked to him when he walked out this door.
Now, why would we play that? That's Dave Dombrowski from a couple of years ago when the Red Sox decided to bring back John Farrell. That was going into the 2017 season. Okay, that was between 2016 and 17 that they decided to bring back John Farrell. Why would we play that? I'll tell you why in just a second. First, time for the Roadnizer Heat Zone. Who's Hot? Brought to you by our friends at Roadnizer Plumbing, Heating, AC, and Electric. So I'm a cynic. I think it's a salary drive, but nonetheless, J.D. Martinez in his last nine games, he is absolutely annihilating the baseball. I just wish that we saw this Martinez in the first half of the year instead of, again, at a time when the games don't mean anything. But in his last nine games, .441, six homers, 18 RBI in his last nine games. 11 runs scored in an OPS over 1550 for J.D. Martinez. He's your Roadnizer Heat Zone player. Just a reminder, Trivia Tuesday coming up at the end of the hour. We'll see if we can get another winner in there, into that drawing for the trip to Aruba. But the sound that we just played of Dave Dombrowski, and I missed this because I haven't read the book yet, but in talking to John Tomasi and Lou last night on Talking Baseball Off the Air, they mentioned this, so I looked it up. In Alex Speer's new book, and his new book on the championship team of the Red Sox from a year ago, and the name of the book is Homegrown, How the Red Sox Built a Champion from the Ground Up. Speer tells a story here, gives an account of, in 2017, that incident that took place in Baltimore. If you remember when Manny Machado slid into second base and hurt Dustin Pedroia, the Red Sox then tried to hit Machado and botched it. It then spilled over into Boston, okay? And some of this you may not remember, but just work with me on the details. So the event spilled over into Boston, and now this is from Speer's book. The team had been irate during the remainder of that series in Baltimore, with tensions escalating until Barnes threw a pitch behind Machado's head. Then the Orioles came to Boston. Okay, now I continue with Speer. That Monday night in Fenway, the Orioles engaged in what many members of the Red Sox believe to be an act of retaliation when Dylan Bundy drilled Betts in the hip with a fastball. Do you guys remember this? Right? Dylan Bundy hit Betts, and everyone thought it was a retaliatory act. But after the loss, writes Speer, the standard post-game conversation between Dombrowski and Farrell in the manager's office took on an atypical tone. The two got into a shouting match related to that night's game, particularly the team's handling of retribution and whether the Red Sox needed to settle the score by hitting Chata with a pitch after their best player Betts had been drummed. And then it says, the confrontation became sufficiently intense that Farrell essentially challenged Dombrowski. If the president of baseball operations took such issue with how the club was being run, then he should fire him. Now, this is the part that is most meaningful. The exchange was not confined to the manager's office. As the shouting match echoed through the walls of the clubhouse, players, coaches, and other Red Sox employees couldn't help but hear it through the closed door to Farrell's office. Some scattered, wanting nothing to do with it. Others were fascinated and drew closer to gain access to the details of the blow-by-blow. The tension erupted in a way that had never happened before. And then there's a quote from Farrell saying, that's when I knew pretty much that, you know, I was in trouble. Okay? Here's what I'll tell you that I took from this. I covered baseball for, I don't know, 15 years. There were two occasions where I can ever remember hearing shouting from the clubhouse. One was in New York in 1996, where Kevin Kennedy screamed at his players, specifically Joe Hudson, after they lost a game in New York, Kennedy was fired at the end of the year, and I thought it was one of the great a-hole moves of all time, that you would yell so loud that the media could hear you in the hallway outside the clubhouse at Yankee Stadium. The only other time was Jimmy Williams versus Carl Everett in 2001 in the manager's office when, you know, they went at it because Everett was being a pain in the ass and showing up to the ballpark late. And then we all knew, too, that Everett was cooked and the team was in a state of dysfunction. This one, to me, is the worst of the three. For a general manager of a team, or in this case, the president of baseball operations, to go down to the clubhouse and air out his manager with the players in the room outside the closed door capable of hearing everything is one of the great dink moves of all time. And that should tell you ultimately how Dave Dombrowski runs his operation. You're going to go into the manager's office and air him out in front of his players? Basically, whether the door is closed or not, you just cut his balls off right then and there. So look, Farrell to me at the end of the day lost the team. Okay? And look at how some of these young guys have produced since he went. But that move by Dombrowski, oh, that's a dick move. That is a dick move. To show up your manager in front of his players, because then they are going to have no respect for him down the stretch. I mean, really. I did not know about that. I'd heard rumors about some stuff going on with Dombrowski and Farrell at that time. But to do it in the manager's office where the players can hear it, ooh, that's bad. That's bad. I know Theo and Francona got into it at times. I don't think they ever did it behind closed doors where the players could hear it.
Well, he's getting his comeuppance in just about a month, so...
Those angry text messages from Theo to Francona, usually all caps.
I mean, I'm telling you, that's one of the great dick moves for a GM to pull of all time. Show up the manager by yelling at him so the players can hear it. And it's really bad. Trivia Tuesday coming up next. First five callers to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. You can participate if you can answer three questions correctly. You get a $100 gift card to Bertucci's, the official pizza of baseball fans, and... you'll automatically be entered for a three-night stay at the Tamarind Aruba All-Inclusive Resort, provided by the Aruba Tourism Authority, travel courtesy of JetBlue. Right now, there are only two people entered in the drawing for the trip, so you can become the third. Call the contest line, or for that matter, you can call the regular line, 617-779-0985, or the contest line, 617-931-0985. Trivia Tuesday's next.
With Tony Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's Trivia Tuesday on the Baseball Reporter. Tuesday. This is where your baseball knowledge can lead to fabulous prizes. And now, here's your host, Tony Maserati.
All right, at the very least, it's always worth a couple of laughs. I know Murray gets a chuckle out of this.
How many winners have there been? Is it three?
Two.
It's two.
Two winners.
It's a coin flip.
So, I think we've been doing it now, what, like seven, eight weeks?
Yeah.
We still only have two winners. So here's the good news, and that's the sound you'll hear if you get a question correct. The good news is that if you're one of those two winners, your odds right now for getting a winning a trip to Aruba are pretty good. As Murray said, a coin flip. Like, how often in life do you go through with the chance, a 50% chance of winning a trip to Aruba? That's pretty good. The bad news... collectively, you, as Red Sox fans or baseball fans, are embarrassing yourselves with some of the questions that you've missed this year. Like, really, I can't even begin to tell you how bad some of the answers have been. So if you've listened the last couple of weeks, you know, A, we've dumbed down the questions, which Jimmy doesn't like.
Me too.
And B, now I lost my train of thought. Oh, we've tried to make them timely. We tried to make them timely.
Right.
So, for example, last week, the Red Sox were playing the
Rockies?
The Colorado Rockies.
Yeah.
Very good. I forgot myself. That's why I asked you. I was hoping you would know. And we asked some questions about the Rockies. So it stands to reason that tonight we would ask questions about the
Twins.
Minnesota Twins. There you go. So Randy in Medford is caller number one. We'll punch him up right now. Randy, ready to go?
I'm ready to go.
Okay. The Red Sox tonight play the Minnesota Twins in the opener of a three-game series at Fenway Park. The Twins are so named because they represent the Twin Cities in the state of Minnesota. Name the two Twin Cities.
Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Minneapolis and St. Paul is correct. Very good. One for one so far. Excellent. Okay. Domingo Germán of the New York Yankees has been among the major league leaders in wins all year, and I believe he is now or has been tied with Justin Verlander in that area. That is sort of an ancillary detail. But, again, that's really the pertinent part of it, that the American League leaders in wins right now are Verlander and Herman at 17. Eduardo Rodriguez of the Red Sox ranks second in victories right now with 16. Who is the next Red Sox pitcher on the list of in wins in the American League this year? In the American League. David Price is incorrect. Incorrect. Yeah, we're going to let him go. I don't know why we don't have a buzzer. Here we go. Sorry, I give Jimmy sort of my finger
away. You gave him the finger.
I know, I was looking for the buzzer, but there's no way he would know that because the last time I was looking for the bell. So that's my fault. David Price is incorrect. Murray, would you want to venture a guess here?
Rick Porcello.
Rick Porcello is correct. Rick Porcello is the starter tonight, too, which is why part of the reason we asked the question. See, I'm giving away the answers now because, frankly, I feel like I got to tell you it because when I ask you it next week, you have a better chance of knowing.
What's he get, 13?
He's got 11, I think, the last time I checked. It might be 12 now. Tony is in Rhode Island. Tony, you there?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Okay, here you go. Over the weekend, the Red Sox played the Los Angeles Angels in Anaheim. During the series, this Angels player hit his 653rd career home run, most among active players. Who is he?
Pujols.
Albert Pujols is correct. Good job. Okay, we'll stick with current events over the weekend. Justin Verlander threw his third career no-hitter, becoming one of just five pitchers to play after 1900 to do so. Okay, you got that? Since 1900... five pitchers have thrown as many as three career no-hitters. Verlander is now one of them. Of the other four, name two.
Nolan Ryan?
Nolan Ryan is correct.
David Wells?
Okay,
Wells?
David Wells is incorrect. So the only other guys in Major League history, again, after 1900, to throw three or more no-hitters, Nolan Ryan, Sandy Koufax, Bob Feller, Cy Young. Now, there is a list with integrity. Okay? Those four guys. There's a fifth guy named Larry Corcoran who pitched in the 1800s, but he doesn't count because they were playing with a hacky sack back then. You couldn't hit that thing out of a ballpark if you shot it out of a cannon, for crying out loud. Helen's in Groton. Helen, you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Is this Helen, my former mail person?
Yes, it is.
Helen! All right, I'm rooting for you, Helen. Here you go. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
Okay. Last year, the New York Yankees set a major league record by hitting 267 home runs. Over the weekend, this team broke that record. Name the team. Helen, I'm pulling for you.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
I gotta let her go. The Twins. Twins are in town. The Twins set the record over the weekend. Again, I tell people, when in doubt, guess someone who's in town. Guess someone who's in town when in doubt. She used to deliver my mail. The nicest woman on the planet.
Yeah?
Without a doubt. Still sends me a birthday card and a Father's Day card.
Oh, well, I guess she really is. She lives up to that billing.
Okay? Really, an incredibly nice woman.
She had won. The fix would have been in.
Well, that's why I didn't give her a hint. I was about to, and I said, oh, I can't do that. It's against the rules. Chris in Bridgewater. Chris, are you there?
I am.
Okay. Ooh, now I got to give you an easier question. Well, that's a problem. I didn't do enough questions. All right. Obviously, Red Sox outfielder Mookie Betts won the American League MVP award last season. The last Minnesota Twin to win the award was this native Minnesotan and former number one pick who recently retired. Who was he?
Joe Mauer.
Joe Mauer is correct. Good job. Good job. Okay, second question. Last year, how many days did the Red Sox spend out of first place last year? 2 days, 12 days, or 22 days?
12 days.
12 days is correct. Correct. We're going to get you to the finals here, Chris. You ready?
All right. I'm ready.
Okay, here you go. If you can get this question right, you will win a $100 gift card to Bertucci's, and you'll be entered into the drawing. Recently, Chris Sale eclipsed 2,000 strikeouts for his career. Incredibly, the Red Sox, in their history, have had only two pitchers record over 2,000 strikeouts. Okay? Only two pitchers. You know what? Given the way this thing has gone, name either one of them.
Roger Clemens.
Roger Clemens is correct. Yay! There we go. Yay! All right, Chris, stay on the line. Don't go anywhere. We're going to put you on hold. Billy Lanny back there will take your information, and Chris is the winner. He's on in the drawing. The other one, by the way, is Tim Wakefield. Tim Wakefield is the only other Red Sox pitcher with 2,000 strikeouts. Just quickly, Big Y matchup of the game presented by Big Y World Class Market, serving the Massachusetts community for over 80 years. Our thanks to our friends at Big Y. Tonight's matchup, Rick Porcello against Nelson Cruz. How do you like that matchup, Arcane? You think that's a good one?
Oh, I think it's a great one.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.